By the help of the Lord, we're going to endeavor to talk now together. Before we get into this, would you join us in prayer?
Amen.
Almighty God, we're thankful that you're a God who has it all together. Don't ever have to worry about you falling apart at the seams, frustrated or upset about any situation. You always have it together. We ask you tonight that you will bless us through the discourse of this message. Provide anointing. Provide the help that we need to proclaim. We ask you that every heart will be open. Every mind will be open. And each one of us will get a direct blessing from heaven tonight. You've blessed in the past, but here we are tonight asking for another blessing. We need your Holy Spirit. Move amongst us tonight, Lord. If there's any life here tonight that's been shattered, that needs to be restored and put together, Lord, bring this to pass. You know every heart in here. You know how near each one of our lives are to the termination. We ask you, Lord, that you'll deal accordingly. Open up understanding. Reveal yourself to all of us divinely tonight. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. The opposite of together would be separation. Many families are well acquainted with the sting of separation. Mama over here and Daddy over here. Homes that have been severed to never be reunited, separated. I read about two sisters that lived in a place together. They were blood sisters, but they never spoke to each other. They were just existing in the same house, but not on speaking terms. Separation. Together in the same, under the same roof, but miles apart in spirit. Read an article about two brothers, blood brothers. This article stated they both attended the same church, but they had been feuding for years. And there were 2 years that they hadn't spoke to each other. One would go out one aisle or up one aisle, and the other would go a different way. Separation. But the good news I have tonight, that we have a God that can unite. A God that can bring together. In the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, it tells about some dry bones. These dry bones represent spiritually dead Israel. They said they were in a valley. A bunch of bones. Well, Brother Clay, could you come up here and draw me some bones?
Uh,
You all use your imagination a little bit here now. Maybe we can get us some bones up here.
That's good enough.
Huh? Here.
Some more bones.
Some dry bones. Let's get. Somebody might turn to that chapter. Thirty-seventh chapter of Ezekiel. Well, maybe. Got much better at his looks. Anyway. Thank you. 37th chapter of Ezekiel. This man was taken by the Spirit. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, just full of it, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Could that look like a pretty hopeless assignment? How would some Sunday morning you like to go out to Forest Lawn and preach to those tombstones? Would that look like it was a pretty hopeless situation? Anyway, he said it, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Irregardless to the hopelessness of the looks of things, he began. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together. Get the word there? Bone to his bone. Now, he, at the commandment, prophesied to these dry, lifeless, dead bones, dry bones. It was a quiet place. Cemeteries are that way. But there was a power in the Word of God that caused some noise to start up. I read about C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, one of the supposedly great evangelists of the 19th century. And he was to speak in London in a large building. And before his speaking assignment, he decided to go there and try out the acoustics. And The way he did it, he repeated the verse, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And he repeated that. Unbeknownst to him, there was a workman in the building. And he heard this preacher just testing acoustics. But that scripture touched his heart. And he, through listening to this being repeated, through just that one scripture alone, come to know Jesus Christ. And it was a few days later he came and met with the preacher and told him the experience. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And so as he got to talking to these dry bones, something began to happen. There was a noise. A noise is a sign some life somewhere. Them old dead, dry bones begin to make some noise. Then they begin to rattle around. And there begin to be some movement there. Let's say, way over here, someplace was a leg. And this leg started traveling over here. And we'll make this over here. We'll take and try to make an ankle bone. And then up over here there was a bone that come down here and connected up, and it was the foot bone. Being an artist could sure be an asset to a preacher. So after that rattling and movement, the bone come out here and got connected. It was just a valley full of bones. But some way God's power got the right bone to connect it with the other right bone. He didn't get a shoulder bone connected to the foot bone, but he had them all lined up right. Bone to his bone. They was just all in order. The power of the Word of God brought bones together. Now what does it say? "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." Still lacked breath. "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, O man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." What a transformation. What a change transpired through the prophecy and the Spirit coming, putting breath into these. And God didn't stop until he got them on their feet. When God gets a person a hold of him, he wants to get him on his feet. And he don't want him to be puny. Spiritually, a weakling. Spiritually retarded and crippled. But he wants to get up on his feet. the power of God was able to bring these bones together. There's an advantage of having life. They had been dead, dried, disassembled, hopeless looking condition, wouldn't it be? Maybe as preachers preach today and they know the background of people's life, it can look pretty hopeless, couldn't it not? But still the Word of God is relevant to be preached. However hopeless the situation looks, however entangled the lives looks, however dead and dry and cold the situations may be, the Word of God still should be preached. The Church of God has a relevant message to preach, and it will have that message until Jesus comes. It needs to be preached. So God got the bones together and made them able to stand up on their feet. May God bless us. There is an advantage to having it all together. Because with an ability, death and disassemblement brings a confinement. They were just confined out here in the valley. But when God got it all together, they was able to walk out of the valley. Amen. And to go up the hillside. What the songwriter says, I can see far down the mountain where a wanderer weary is, often hindered in my journey by the ghost of doubts and fears. Broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way. But, there's that but. The Spirit didn't give up on me when I was down here in the valley. Didn't throw in a towel on me. Didn't walk out of the way and leave me. Stuck with me. Stood by me. And He got me out of the valley and up on the mountaintop. I have a brighter perspective of spiritual things. Oh, yes. With that life in him, they can walk out of that old valley of dry bones. God wants a church that's alive and well. Sister Kim said something the other night in prayer meeting that stuck with me. A church alive is worth the drive. Isn't that a good one? A church alive is worth the drive. Did you say that? Is it worth it? God wants a church that's alive. God wants a church with movement. Not stale and stagnant.
That's right.
Let me read some things here. It says, thanks, Vanna. Alive churches are constantly changing. This is for the better. Dead churches don't have to. Alive churches are constantly improving. Planning for the future.
Amen.
Dead churches just worship the past.
Yeah.
Alive churches are intent and earnest about worship.
Yeah.
Dead churches aren't.
That's right.
Alive churches move out in faith.
Yeah.
Dead churches operate totally on human sight.
Yeah.
Alive churches have givers.
Yeah. That's right.
Dead churches have tippers. Just say this to Betty. A lot of churches dream great dreams for God.
Yes.
Dead churches relive nightmares. A lot of churches have fresh wind of love blowing. Dead churches are full of bickering. A lot of churches don't have can't in their vocabulary. Dead churches have nothing else but. A lot of churches evangelize. Was you doing some evangelizing today? Dead churches fossilize. A lot of churches is worth the drive. Are we dry bones tonight? Is there dryness in us? Is there deadness in us? Oh, may God stir hearts tonight. May there be a new life. May there be new incentive. May there be new inspiration. May there be new hope. Do you have a hope that there's going to be more in this congregation? Do you want new life? Some fresh blood? So do it. God wants His people together. A healthy attitude is an attitude of desiring unity. In the 22nd chapter of Joshua, there was 2.5 tribes of the that were having an inheritance of their land on the east side of Jordan. The more numerous tribes was on the west side. Joshua had commended the ones on the east and dismissed them to go back or go to their possessions and go to the land that they had inherited. As they journeyed back, they stopped by Jordan River and they built a unity altar. Thank God. An altar to show their solidarity with those on the west. These people desired to be together. We're on opposite sides of the river. But we have the same God. We've been delivered from the same past. We have the same destiny. And we want this altar to be a witness to the descendants, to those offsprings that will come after us, that they will know that even though Jordan River's between us, that we are still one. That we're still together. Because we belong together. The people of God belong together. Oh, may God help us tonight to love unity. These men weren't afraid to get out there and, so to speak, roll up their sleeves and get this altar erected. Maybe somewhere down the line, the other ones are going to say to our children, doesn't it bear it out somewhere in this reading? Then we'll have that particular place where it said, for fear that in future generations, well, the tribes over there on the west side didn't really understand what was going on there for a while. They thought this altar was perhaps erected in a competitive spirit. And they sent some people to spy it out. But then when they found out the motive was pure, then they went along with it too. But these people were very serious about unity. And they did not just let it stop with their immediate family, but the descendants that was going to come on, they wanted them to know that we are serving the same God they are. There's no difference in our God. The same one. And so, as the West found out the true, pure motive, they dropped the intentions of going to war with them. May God help us. May God help those who have families coming on. To desire unity.
Yes.
To desire that togetherness.
That's right.
Yeah. What's that song Sister Tina said? Sometimes we laugh together. And then the other side of the coin, sometimes we cry together.
Yeah.
Sometimes we dream together of how it must be. When we all get to heaven, God's family. Do you really desire to get together up there with the rest of the family? God has a big family. Part of it's down here. And part of it's over there. But one of these days, He's going to get them all together. God's family, when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that'll be. When God gets all of His family together. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful thing. If you enjoyed today, you could call that just a little bitty taste. But when all of God's saints gather home, there'll never be anything that will cause you to have a bad attitude. You won't ever have a cross look. Nobody will ever give you a cross look. It'll be together in harmony forever and ever. But do we wait till we get up there to be like that? Let me just inject this little saying that I've said different times. To live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. Those things that irritate, those things that upset, annoy, disturb, perturb. Oh, my God. Help us all, Lord. Help me, Jesus. God wants His people together. It's not only important to you, it's important to your children and their children. Sister Alice Johnson, the 2:30 service up there at Bakersfield preached about passing it on.
Yes.
These people was interested in passing on unity.
Yes.
I want this altar to be a unity altar. And I want these descendants of ours to know that we belong together. May God help us. Together. It's very important. Together. Is there a scripture in Romans 8? What is it, 28? Before we know? That all things do what? Work together? For good? To them that love God,
to them who are thee called,
to them that are thee called, according to His purpose. Well, how could an accident to preach on Sunday morning, going to church, be a benefit or blessing or work? That's what happened not very long ago to me. Work for my good? What about Job? Had troubles just compiled, stacked up. But it worked for his good. You know how it worked for his good? He said, he makes my heart soft. It's good to have a soft heart. How can something bad work for your good? Oh, he can do it. He can take the things that seem to harm you and just turn it around and bring good out of it. Job had a better insight on spiritual things. I heard about him. But now, it's closer than that. He got an intimacy with God. He was able to get close to him. Them trials did something. The bad things that happened to you can work for your good. If they make you more like Jesus, the purpose, called according to the purpose is, in the next verse, to conform you into the image of Jesus. If trials and tests and pain and suffering will make you more like Jesus, it's worth it all. That's how it'll work for you good. It'll work for you good if it makes you more like Jesus. Maybe you, if something happens, depletes some of your bank account. Oh, my Lord, that seems so bad. But if it makes you more like Jesus, it's worth it. Sure it is. The bad things. It looked like maybe a very terrible thing. A man stretched out with nails in his hands and a spear split in his side and crown of thorns on his head and humiliated in different ways. It looked maybe like a real bad thing, and it was to a certain extent. But oh, what a good thing came out of it. Our salvation came out of it. It looked bad. Terrible and mighty dim, and the disciples were so downhearted and dejected as they walked along the road to Emmaus. They was down and out. We had trusted and putting it in a past tense, and right there Jesus was listening to what they were saying. It looked like a bad thing that happened to Jesus, but by his death he has been lifted up to a higher place. That old cross that he hung on, it was a despised thing. But how many songs has been written about that bad thing? How many good things is coming out of that bad thing? Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, it has a wondrous attraction to me, the writer said. Oh, the dear Lamb of God. Oh, that's where he died. For me. For you. For every one of us in here. That we wouldn't have to be in a valley of old dry bones, but we could be resurrected, like Brother Philip said, a resurrection. Can you confess it? Taking place right in here. I've been awakened. I'm not down here no more. And now I live with Christ instead. Oh, praise the Lord. For victory. From death to life. This is a miracle, folks. We were all dead in trespasses and in sin, on our way to hell and destruction, but our resurrection. Thank God for that resurrection. Oh, may God bless us. That those bad things will end up making us more like Jesus. Conforming us to His image.
Amen.
There's where the good comes, folks. It don't mean that you're going to be rich. It don't mean that you're not going to have a trial and test. It don't mean that everybody's going to understand you and pat you on the back. It don't mean that. But if it makes you more like Jesus, it's better than all that other. It don't mean that you're going to be real popular and just have flocks of friends. You're not to be saved to have them anyway. If you have Jesus, that's what's important. All things work together for good. There's many lives tonight that's shattered that need to be put together. If this was taken out on this sidewalk and just released and dropped, you know what would happen, don't you? What happened to Humpty Dumpty? That piece would just go here, then, thither. And if you just carefully got down there and got every piece up, you'd have every piece. But would it hold water? It'd have to be put together, wouldn't it? God can pick up the pieces. Oh, yes, He can. He can pick up the pieces. Heartaches, ruined lives. Broken pieces. Broken pieces is why He died on Calvary. He can pick up the broken pieces and He can start putting them together. Start putting them together. Oh, how many lives need to be picked up tonight? A piece here and a piece there and a piece someplace else. And how many of them need to be brought to Jesus? Here it is, Lord. Here's the pieces left of my life. It's shattered and ruined by sin. I'm ashamed. I'm guilty. I'm lost and undone. Here, Jesus, is the pieces. Would you put them together? Put my life together. He can do it too. We was all broken up, wasn't we? Some of us worse than others. If we knew what was in each other's lives that God has delivered us from, some of us would be shocked or surprised probably. But He knows. He knows. Oh, He can put the pieces back and make something beautiful. Take old ashes and give you beauty for it. Can you beat it? I read about a woman, 25 years old. One full moon, she was headed towards the river to end her life. They had a dad that was too busy for her, and her mother died. And she got involved with a man twice her age, and they went off together and come back, and then he just didn't show interest in her. And she met somebody and fell in love with them, and they were in the service, and they ended up getting killed. She started drinking and being with men, her life was just shattered. Oh, she needed a togetherness by God. And this night when she was there, she was afraid to plunge off into the river. And she just didn't feel like I could bear living. That's a bad place to get in. Afraid to die and can't live hardly. Do you know there's a lot of people out there that are right now thinking about ending it all? Life is shattered. Dreams shattered. Hope shattered. Just shattered people. Oh, there's a hope. There's one who can take some old dry bones and get them together. Take those lives that are so shattered. The prodigal son, an example of one who had shattered his life, took his monies and went off to live a disgraceful life. Lowered his morals, and if he ever had any, stooped to a low, degrading life, away from Father's house, got in troubles, got broke, got hungry. But thank God he still had a will to have a reuniting with Father. And so when he come to himself, he says, I'm going to get up and get out of here. And he did that. He left that place and he started back home. And when he got a distance, perhaps his father many times longed for the homecoming of the son. And maybe every day, at least once, he'd get out and stand and look. And this particular time, he could see a figure off in the distance, walking towards home. And it caught his attention. There was something about even the figure in the distance that reminded him of his son. And he stood there with anticipations as the form got closer and closer. And as it got closer and closer, it just confirmed. It's him. He could see as he got closer his shoes, his appearance, his brokenness, his shatteredness, his expression in his face. But oh, that togetherness come. Those arms went around him. That united him. Father and son. Back in Oklahoma, one of the residents had a picture of that, united, that togetherness there, father and son. Is there anyone here tonight that needs to come together with God? It says, come, let us reason together. Let's get together. Let's discuss. Let's reason. Let's consider some things. Talk it over. Oh, what a privilege to reason with the God that created you. Is there anyone tonight that needs to come home? Life has been shattered. Dreams, disappointments, heartaches, frustrations, guilts, and perhaps another of other things that shouldn't be. Would you come and reason tonight?
Yes. Amen.
And let the Lord put the pieces together. May God bless you.